Hello and welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jen.
Hi everyone! In this episode, we'll be diving into a fascinating research paper that explores the role of AI in the world of finance and investment management. The title of the paper is Can a GPT-4-powered AI agent be a good enough performance attribution analyst?
Performance attribution analysis. That sounds like a complex topic, Jen. Can you give our listeners a quick overview of what that means?
Absolutely, Tom. Performance attribution analysis is the process of understanding the drivers behind the performance of an investment portfolio compared to a benchmark. It's a crucial part of the investment decision-making process, particularly in the fund management industry.
I see. So it's all about figuring out why a portfolio is doing better or worse than the overall market. That must be a really important task for investment professionals.
Exactly right. Performance attribution provides valuable, impartial feedback on the investment decisions made by portfolio managers. It helps them identify the specific factors, like asset allocation, stock selection, market timing, and so on, that are contributing to their portfolio's performance.
Okay, that makes sense. So where does this new AI technology come into play?
Well, the researchers in this study wanted to investigate whether a GPT-4-powered AI agent could potentially act as a good enough performance attribution analyst. They were curious to see if an AI system could automate and enhance this important financial analysis task.
Fascinating. I can definitely see the appeal of using AI for something like this. It could save a lot of time and effort for the human analysts. But can an AI system really handle all the complexities of performance attribution?
That's a great question, Tom. The researchers acknowledge that performance attribution poses some interesting challenges for AI agents. For one, it requires incorporating deep domain-specific knowledge about finance and investment management. The AI system needs to understand all the nuances and methodologies behind performance attribution.
That makes sense. These are highly specialized financial concepts we're talking about, not something a typical language model would be trained on.
Exactly. The researchers also noted that performance attribution involves a lot of structured, tabular data, things like portfolio holdings, benchmark returns, and calculated metrics. So the AI agent needs to be able to generate 100% accurate results, without any of the hallucinations or mistakes that language models can sometimes make.
Wow, that does sound challenging. Crunching all those numbers and calculations accurately is no easy feat, even for a human analyst.
Absolutely. And on top of that, performance attribution is a multidimensional, multi-temporal problem. The AI agent has to reason across different time periods and data sources to provide meaningful insights. It's not a simple, straightforward task.
So how did the researchers go about testing whether a GPT-4-powered AI agent could handle all of this? What did their approach entail?
The researchers took a really innovative approach. They leveraged advanced prompt engineering techniques like chain of thought and plan and solve to imbue the AI agent with the necessary financial knowledge and reasoning capabilities. They also employed a standard agent framework from LangChain to help the system navigate the complexities of performance attribution.
Ah, I see. So they didn't just throw the AI system into the deep end and hope it would figure it out. They put a lot of thought and structure into how the agent would approach these tasks.
Exactly. And the results were quite impressive. The AI agent achieved accuracy rates exceeding 93% in analyzing performance drivers, 100% accuracy in multi-level attribution calculations, and over 84% accuracy in simulated exam-style question-answering exercises.
Wow, those are some really strong results. It sounds like the researchers were able to train this AI agent to be a remarkably capable performance attribution analyst.
Absolutely. The findings suggest that AI agents, when equipped with the right prompts and frameworks, can be a powerful tool for automating and enhancing this critical financial analysis process. It could free up human analysts to focus more on deeper, strategic thinking rather than crunching numbers.
That's a really compelling application of AI technology. I can see how this could revolutionize the way investment firms approach portfolio performance measurement and attribution.
Definitely. The researchers concluded that this represents a significant advancement in the practical application and evaluation of AI within the financial domain. It paves the way for further integration of cutting-edge language models and agent-based systems into core business processes.
That's really fascinating, Jen. This paper touches on so many fascinating intersections: finance, AI, automation, and the future of work. I'm really impressed by the level of detail and innovation that went into this study.
Me too, Tom. It's a great example of how rigorous research can uncover important real-world applications for emerging technologies. I think this work has huge implications not just for the investment management industry, but for how we think about AI's potential to augment and enhance human expertise across a wide range of domains.
Absolutely. This is the kind of cutting-edge discovery that really gets me excited about the future. I can't wait to see what other breakthroughs come out of this intersection of finance and AI.
Same here, Tom. This was a fascinatingly in-depth look at a very timely and impactful piece of research. I'm sure our listeners are as intrigued as we are about the possibilities here.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for joining us on Cutting Edge Discoveries. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode exploring the latest groundbreaking research. Until next time, I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. See you soon.
Are you tired of spending hours manually analyzing your portfolio's performance?
Introducing Performance Wizard, the AI-powered performance attribution tool that can do the work of 10 analysts in half the time.
Just feed Performance Wizard your portfolio data and watch as it magically breaks down the key drivers behind your returns.
Asset allocation analysis? Done. Stock selection insights? Easy peasy. Factor exposures? Performance Wizard crunches the numbers with 100% accuracy.
And the best part? Performance Wizard was developed by the same researchers who proved a GPT-4 agent could outperform human analysts.
So say goodbye to spreadsheet headaches and hello to AI-fueled investment mastery. Get Performance Wizard today and be the portfolio rockstar your clients deserve.
Performance Wizard, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-calculating sidekick your finance team needs. Visit performancewizard.com to learn more.
Performance Wizard, because your time is too valuable to waste on manual performance attribution. Mic drop.
Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into cutting-edge research and unpack the latest scientific discoveries. I'm Tom, and joining me today is my co-host, Jen.
Hi there, listeners. Today, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper titled A Mean Field Game of Market Entry: Portfolio Liquidation with Trading Constraints. This research examines how investors and traders navigate the intricate dynamics of financial markets when faced with strict limits on their trading strategies.
That's right, Jen. The key finding from this paper is that when investors are not allowed to change the direction of their trades, for example, if short sellers can only buy and long position holders can only sell, the game of portfolio liquidation transforms into a game of optimal market entry and exit timing. Let's dive in and see how the researchers uncovered this interesting result.
The paper starts by noting that traditional models of optimal portfolio liquidation have typically focused on scenarios where investors can freely buy and sell assets. But in many real-world markets, brokers and traders face regulations that prohibit changing the direction of trading.
Exactly. The researchers wanted to understand how these no change of trading constraints would impact the strategic behavior of investors and the overall dynamics of the market. To do this, they considered both a mean field game, where there is a single representative investor, as well as an n-player game, where multiple investors interact.
The core innovation here is that the researchers were able to show that these portfolio liquidation games with trading constraints are equivalent to games of optimal market entry and exit timing. In other words, instead of players continuously adjusting their trading positions, The optimal strategies boil down to determining the best times to enter and exit the market.
That's a really interesting insight. Can you walk us through how the researchers arrived at this result?
Sure. Let me explain the key steps. First, the researchers introduced auxiliary portfolio processes and associated adjoint variables that allowed them to characterize the optimal trading strategies in terms of the solutions to certain forward-backward differential equations.
Okay, that sounds pretty technical. How did they make sense of those complex differential equations?
Well, that's where the real innovation comes in. The researchers realized that if they could identify the optimal entry and exit times for buyers and sellers, then they could simplify the problem significantly. They showed that in a seller-dominated market, sellers actually never delay their entry. They immediately jump into the market at time zero. But for buyers, there is an optimal entry time that depends on the size of their initial position. Buyers with small short positions will optimally delay their entry to avoid overly adverse price movements.
I see. So the trading constraint fundamentally changes the strategic dynamics compared to an unconstrained model. Buyers have to time their entry carefully, while sellers just get in right away.
Exactly. And on the exit side, the researchers found that sellers optimally exit the market at the first time their portfolio hits zero, which is the same as the optimal dropout time in a model with a dropout constraint. But for buyers, the exit time is the terminal time T, since they never want to prematurely exit a rising market.
Fascinating. So by carefully analyzing these entry and exit decisions, the researchers were able to simplify the complex differential equations and arrive at a more intuitive game-theoretic understanding of the problem.
Precisely. And the real elegance of their approach is that they were able to unify the analysis of the mean field game and the end player game within a common mathematical framework. This allowed them to establish existence and uniqueness results for the equilibrium in both settings.
That's impressive. So what are some of the key implications of these findings?
Well, one important implication is that the trading constraint leads to very different market dynamics compared to an unconstrained model. For example, the researchers found that the aggregate trading rate initially starts out slower, but then accelerates more sharply later on in the game.
I see. So the trading constraint dampens the initial selling pressure from buyers, but then leads to a more pronounced liquidation spike towards the end. That's a really interesting market dynamic that would be important for regulators and participants to understand.
Absolutely. The researchers also showed that their results have important applications in real-world settings. Many jurisdictions actually do have regulations that prohibit brokers from changing the direction of trading on behalf of their clients. So this model provides a powerful framework for analyzing the strategic implications of such constraints.
That's a great point. This research doesn't just have theoretical significance, but can also directly inform practical market design and policy decisions. I'm really impressed by the depth and relevance of this work.
Me too. One other aspect I found fascinating is how the researchers leverage tools from control theory, differential equations, and fixed point analysis to tackle this complex game theoretic problem. It's a great example of how powerful mathematical techniques can unlock new insights in finance and economics.
Absolutely. This paper really demonstrates the value of interdisciplinary research that bridges fields like mathematics, economics, and finance. The researchers were able to develop an elegant, unified framework that sheds light on an important practical issue.
Definitely. And I think one of the key strengths of this work is how the authors managed to present such technical material in an accessible and intuitive way. They did an excellent job of breaking down the complex concepts and guiding the reader through the logic step by step.
I agree, Jen. The narrative storytelling throughout the paper makes it really engaging to read, even for listeners who may not have a deep background in mathematical finance. The researchers were clearly focused on communicating their insights in a clear and compelling manner.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great model for us as science communicators. When we're unpacking cutting-edge research like this, it's important to strike that balance between rigor and accessibility. We want to do justice to the technical depth of the work, but also make it engaging and meaningful for a general audience.
Definitely. Well, Jen, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. This was a really fascinating deep dive into an impressive piece of research. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Just that I'm really struck by the creativity and elegance of this work. The researchers took a complex problem and were able to boil it down to its essential game-theoretic structure. That kind of conceptual breakthrough is what drives scientific progress forward.
Well said. This podcast has certainly left me with a newfound appreciation for the beauty and relevance of mean field game theory. It's a powerful lens for understanding strategic behavior in financial markets and beyond.
Absolutely. This is the kind of research that expands the boundaries of our understanding and opens up new avenues for further exploration. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more from this team in the future.
I couldn't agree more. Well, that's all the time we have for today, listeners. Thank you for joining us on this journey through the fascinating world of a mean field game of market entry. Portfolio liquidation with trading constraints. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast for more in-depth discussions of cutting-edge research. Until next time, keep exploring and stay curious.
Are you tired of the same old portfolio liquidation strategies? Sick of the constraints that tie your hands and limit your trading options?
Then you need to check out Unconstrained Capital, the first and only financial firm that specializes in portfolio optimization with no trading direction limits.
That's right. At Unconstrained Capital, our team of experts has cracked the code on mean field game theory and portfolio liquidation. We'll help you time your market entries and exits to perfection, without any of those pesky no change of trading restrictions.
Want to short a stock and then immediately switch to a long position? No problem. Feel like buying up assets now and then selling them off later? Consider it done.
Unconstrained Capital gives you the ultimate freedom to trade, liquidate, and optimize your portfolio however your heart desires. We're talking absolute liberation from the constraints of traditional finance.
So what are you waiting for? Break free from the shackles of the status quo and let Unconstrained Capital unlock your true trading potential. Visit unconstrainedcapital.com to learn more.
Unconstrained Capital. The future of portfolio management is here, and it's completely unlimited. Here is a detailed podcast episode about the research paper Optimal Portfolio Choice with Cross-Impact Propagators. Hello and welcome to the award-winning Research in Depth podcast. I'm Tom, and with me as always is my co-host Jen.
Hi everyone. In this episode, we'll be diving into a fascinating new paper that explores the implications of cross-impact on optimal portfolio choice. The title of the paper is Optimal Portfolio Choice with Cross-Impact Propagators, and it's authored by Eduardo Abi-Jaber, A.L. Newman, and Sturmius Tushman.
This is a really exciting paper that tackles an important problem in quantitative finance. The researchers develop a model for optimal portfolio choice that incorporates both transient self-impact and cross-impact effects driven by a matrix-valued Volterra propagator. Their results provide important insights on how cross-impact influences trading strategies and interacts with alpha decay.
Absolutely. To give you a quick overview, the authors formulate the portfolio choice problem as the maximization of a revenue risk functional, where the agent also has access to a progressively measurable price-predicting signal. They then derive the unique optimal trading strategy explicitly in terms of operator resolvance, by reducing the corresponding first-order condition to a coupled system of stochastic Fredholm equations.
That sounds pretty technical, but the key takeaways are really insightful. The authors show that cross-impact can induce transaction-triggered round trips in assets, leading to more aggressive trading strategies. They also demonstrate how cross-impact can be leveraged to profit from differences in alpha decay across assets.
Right. And the paper also provides sufficient conditions on the propagator matrix to ensure the model doesn't permit price manipulation. This is a really important theoretical result that extends previous work in this area.
Definitely. Let's dive a bit deeper into the details. The researchers consider an investor managing a portfolio of N risky assets, where the unaffected price of each asset follows a semi-martingale process. The investor's trading activity creates both temporary price impact, captured by a positive definite matrix lambda, as well as transient cross impact, described by a matrix-valued Volterra propagator G.
Okay, so the key feature here is this propagator matrix G, which models how past trades in one asset can influence the current price of another asset. This cross-impact effect is a crucial element that sets this model apart from previous work, which often assumed exponential decay of price impact.
Exactly. The authors show that more general propagator matrices, like power law decays, lead to non-Markovian and time-inconsistent portfolio choice problems. To solve this, they introduce some clever new techniques involving stochastic Fredholm equations of the second kind.
That's really impressive. Can you walk us through the structure of their optimal trading strategy?
Sure. The unique maximizer of the revenue risk functional is given by the expression U asterisk underscore T equals I plus B, caret, minus 1, A, T, where A, T, depends on the signal G underscore T, the propagator matrix G, and the temporary impact matrix lambda. And the operator B is defined in terms of the resolvent of a certain integral operator D that aggregates all the impact effects.
Wow, that's a beautifully elegant solution. It's amazing that they were able to derive this in closed form, given the generality of the problem. I'm really curious to understand the intuition behind this optimal strategy.
Well, the key is that the strategy balances three main factors: exploiting the available alpha signal, minimizing temporary price impact, and managing the cross-impact effects. The resolvent operators essentially allow the investor to optimally trade off these competing considerations.
I see. And the authors also provide some insightful numerical results to illustrate the influence of cross-impact, right?
Definitely. They consider a two-asset liquidation example and show that cross-impact can induce transaction-triggered round-trips in the non-target asset. This happens because initiating fast liquidation of one asset causes price movements in the other asset due to cross-impact, which then prompts trading in the opposite direction on the non-target asset.
That's a fascinating dynamic. And they also explore how cross-impact can be leveraged when there are differences in alpha decay across the assets.
Yes, that's a really clever insight. When the alphas have different decay rates, the optimal strategy may involve selling or shorting the asset with the fastest alpha decay. This allows the investor to profit from the more persistent alpha signal on the other asset, amplified by the cross-impact effect.
Wow, that's a great example of how cross-impact can be used strategically. It really highlights the importance of properly accounting for these propagation effects, rather than just focusing on self-impact.
Absolutely. And the paper also makes some important theoretical contributions, like providing sufficient conditions on the propagator matrix to ensure the model doesn't permit price manipulation.
Right. The authors show that if the propagator matrix satisfies certain properties, like being non-negative, non-increasing, convex, and symmetric, then it will be non-negative definite. This guarantees that the expected costs from transient price impact are always non-negative, ruling out the possibility of profitable round-trip strategies.
Exactly. It's a really elegant result that generalizes some previous work in this area. And the authors demonstrate how it applies to popular examples like the factorized power law propagator used in the econophysics literature.
This paper is a fantastic blend of sophisticated mathematical analysis and practical financial insights. The authors have made some truly groundbreaking contributions to our understanding of optimal portfolio choice with cross-impact effects.
I couldn't agree more. This is a must-read for anyone interested in quantitative finance, market microstructure, or stochastic control. The level of rigor and depth in this work is truly impressive.
Definitely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Research in Depth.
Bye for now. Are you tired of your portfolio being weighed down by boring old assets?
Introducing Cross Impact Capital, the only investment firm that leverages cutting-edge cross-impact propagator technology to turbocharge your returns.
That's right, folks. Our quant wizards have unlocked the secret to profiting off the hidden connections between different assets.
With our patented cross-impact algorithms, we can identify opportunities that other fund managers can't even see.
Like, did you know that selling one asset can actually make another asset go up in price? With cross-impact capital, we exploit those juicy cross-impact effects to generate pure alpha.
No more waiting around for slow-moving price signals. Our transaction-triggered round trips let you print money on demand.
And the best part? Our strategies are 100% price manipulation proof, guaranteed.
So if you're tired of pedestrian portfolio performance, come join the cross-impact revolution. Sign up today and experience the power of cross-impact propagators for yourself.
Cross-impact capital, where the future of finance meets the matrix of destiny.
Disclaimer: cross-impact capital is not responsible for any quantum entanglement-related side effects. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. May cause levitation.
Here is the podcast episode. Intro music. Welcome to the award-winning podcast that investigates cutting-edge research with intrigue and depth. I'm Tom, here with my co-host Jen.
Hey there, listeners. In this episode, we'll be diving into a fascinating paper that explores the prediction of retail chain failures in the United States. The title of the paper is Prediction of Retail Chain Failure: Examples of Recent U.S. Retail Failures, authored by Sean Berry from William Howard Taft University.
This is a really timely topic given the significant retail disruption we've seen in recent years, with major chains like Sears, JCPenney, Rite Aid, and Bed Bath & Beyond all struggling or going out of business. The researchers set out to create a model that can predict when a retail chain is likely to fail, which could be incredibly valuable for investors, suppliers, and other stakeholders.
Absolutely. The paper examines the internal and external factors that contribute to retail failures, using data from those high-profile recent cases. The researchers looked at financial metrics like revenue, costs, debt levels, and profitability, as well as macroeconomic indicators like inflation and interest rates.
That's a really comprehensive approach. I'm curious to dig into the specifics of their methodology and findings. Can you walk us through how they conducted this research?
Sure, let's take a closer look. The researchers gathered data from the annual reports of Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Rite Aid, and Sears Holdings between 2013 and 2022. They pulled key financial metrics like revenue, cost of revenue, selling and general administrative, SGA, costs, EBITDA, and long-term debt.
Interesting. And how did they model the likelihood of failure?
They used logistic regression analysis, which is a statistical technique that allows you to predict a binary outcome, in this case, whether a retail chain failed or not in a given year. They looked at both internal factors, like the financial metrics, as well as external factors like inflation rates and consumer satisfaction scores.
Okay, that makes sense. What were some of their key findings?
The results were really insightful. First, they found that certain revenue-based ratios were strong predictors of failure. Specifically, the SGA, revenue, and EBITDA, revenue ratios were both statistically significant. This suggests that a retailer's ability to control their costs and maintain profitability are crucial to avoiding failure.
That makes a lot of sense intuitively. What about the external factors they examined?
That's where things get really interesting. The researchers found that the annual average U.S. inflation rate was a highly significant predictor of retail failures. Their model showed that for every 1% increase in the inflation rate, the likelihood of a retailer failing doubled.
Wow, that's a pretty dramatic effect. I wouldn't have expected macroeconomic conditions to have such a big influence.
Me neither. The researchers also looked at the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and found that during pandemic years, retail chains were over 17 times more likely to fail compared to non-pandemic years.
Ah, yes. The retail apocalypse that we've been hearing so much about. It makes sense that the pandemic would exacerbate the challenges these chains were already facing.
Exactly. The researchers also tested factors like interest rates and consumer satisfaction, but those didn't seem to be as strongly predictive of failure. The real key appears to be a retailer's ability to control their costs and maintain profitability, while also being resilient to macroeconomic shocks.
That's a really insightful set of findings. I'm curious, how well did the researchers' predictive model perform? Could it actually identify when a retailer was likely to fail before it happened?
Great question. The researchers used their model to estimate the probability of failure for each retailer in each year leading up to their eventual demise. And the results are quite remarkable. The model was able to signal a non-trivial chance of failure, often in the year right before it actually happened.
Wow, that's incredibly valuable information. Being able to get that kind of early warning could be a game changer for businesses and investors.
Absolutely. The researchers acknowledge that their model isn't perfect, and there are certainly other factors beyond just the financial metrics that can contribute to a retailer's downfall. But they've provided a really robust framework for identifying the warning signs and trying to get ahead of potential failures.
This is such a fascinating study. I'm really impressed by the depth of the analysis and the practical implications of the findings. Do you have any other key takeaways or reflections on this paper?
A few things really stood out to me. First, the researchers' emphasis on using ratios and financial indicators as predictors, rather than just looking at absolute numbers, was really smart. It helps account for the scale and growth of these businesses over time.
That's a great point. Normalizing the metrics to revenue provides much more meaningful insights.
Exactly. And I also found it interesting that more traditional measures like consumer satisfaction and debt levels weren't as strongly predictive. It really underscores how crucial cost control and profitability are for the long-term viability of retail chains.
Definitely. This research highlights just how challenging it is to operate a successful brick-and-mortar retail business in today's environment. The margin for error is so slim, and external factors like inflation can have an outsized impact.
Absolutely. I think this study serves as an important wake-up call for retail leaders to really focus on the fundamentals of their business, managing costs, driving efficiencies, and maintaining healthy profit margins. Ignoring those basics can be a recipe for disaster, as we've seen with so many prominent chains.
Well said. This has been a fantastic deep dive into a really compelling piece of research. Listeners, I highly recommend checking out the full paper if you want to learn more. But I think Jen and I have done a great job of unpacking the key insights in an engaging and accessible way.
Thanks, Tom. And thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next time with another fascinating research investigation. Stay curious, my friends. Outro music.
Intro jingle. Are you a struggling retail chain on the verge of collapse? Tired of watching your competitors go bankrupt one by one? Well, have we got the solution for you?
Introducing Retail Rescue, the cutting-edge AI-powered platform that can predict your store's impending doom with spooky accuracy.
That's right. Our patented algorithm analyzes your financial statements, inflation data, and even the weird vibes your customers are giving off to tell you precisely when your business is about to go down in flames.
Don't wait until it's too late. With Retail Rescue, you'll get an early warning system that gives you a 12-month heads-up on your inevitable demise.
That means plenty of time to liquidate your assets, declare bankruptcy, and desperately beg your landlord for one more extension before they change the locks.
So what are you waiting for? Sign up for Retail Rescue today and let us help you plan the perfect going out of business sale. Because sometimes the only way to save your retail chain is to let it die with dignity.
Retail Rescue. Predicting your retail apocalypse with a smile. Outro jingle. Here is an informative, entertaining, and detailed podcast episode about the research paper Hydrodynamics of Markets: Hidden Links Between Physics and Finance. Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we investigate cutting-edge research with intrigue and depth. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jen.
Hello, listeners. Today we have an exciting paper to discuss that uncovers hidden connections between physics, finance, and mathematics. The title is Hydrodynamics of Markets: Hidden Links Between Physics and Finance by the financial engineering expert, A. Lipton.
This paper is truly fascinating. It explores how principles from fluid dynamics and statistical physics can be applied to understand complex phenomena in financial markets. The core idea is that problems occurring across these seemingly disparate fields, from the evolution of fluid flows to the dynamics of stochastic processes, can all be reduced to a common mathematical framework.
That's right, Tom. The author uses a powerful mathematical tool called Kelvin waves to solve a wide range of affine differential and pseudo-differential equations. These equations arise in everything from the study of small perturbations in fluid mechanics to the pricing of exotic financial derivatives.
It's really impressive how the paper connects these interdisciplinary concepts. Let's dive in and see how the author makes these links. The paper starts by introducing the fundamental equations of fluid dynamics, the Euler and Navier-Stokes equations. These describe the motion of ideal, frictionless fluids and viscous fluids, respectively.
Right. And the key is that these equations have exact solutions called linear flows where the velocity varies linearly and the pressure varies quadratically with the spatial coordinates. These linear flows provide a nice starting point for analyzing the stability of fluid motions through the introduction of small perturbations.
Exactly. The author then shows how these small perturbations can be described using a special type of wave function called a Kelvin wave. These Kelvin waves have a time-dependent wave vector that allows them to elegantly capture the linear dependence of the coefficients on the spatial variables.
The Kelvin wave formalism is really the unifying thread throughout this paper. The author demonstrates how it can be used to solve a variety of seemingly unrelated problems, from the Kolmogorov equation in statistical physics to the pricing of exotic financial derivatives.
That's a great point. For example, the paper revisits the classic Kolmogorov equation, which describes the dynamics of the motion of a free particle under the influence of random external forces. Surprisingly, the author finds an error in the original solution proposed by Kolmogorov himself.
Wow, that's quite a revelation. Can you tell us more about how the Kelvin wave approach helps correct this error and provide a dimensionally consistent solution?
Sure, let me walk through that. Kolmogorov had proposed a solution to his eponymous equation, but the author shows that it actually doesn't properly satisfy the underlying equation and initial conditions. However, by applying the Kelvin wave framework, the author is able to derive the correct solution, which properly scales with the process parameters and matches numerical results.
That's fascinating. It just goes to show the power of this mathematical approach. And the connections don't stop there. The paper also links the Kolmogorov equation to the Klein-Cramer's equation, which describes the motion of a harmonically bound particle under random forcing.
Right. The author uncovers an unexpected similarity between the dynamics of vorticity in two-dimensional fluid flows and the motion of a harmonically bound particle. This allows them to express the vorticity in terms of a simple Gaussian density function.
Incredible! The paper really demonstrates the unifying potential of this Kelvin wave methodology. And it doesn't just stop at physics. The authors apply it to tackle problems in financial engineering as well.
Absolutely. The second half of the paper focuses on using Kelvin waves to price a variety of financial derivatives, from options with stochastic volatility to Asian options and bond products. The key is that all of these problems can be reduced to solving affine differential and pseudo-differential equations.
That's a great point. By reframing these financial engineering problems in the language of physics and mathematics, the author is able to leverage the Kelvin wave solutions to derive novel pricing formulas and gain deeper intuition. It's a really elegant unification of ideas.
Exactly. And what's even more impressive is that the author is able to tackle more complex scenarios, like processes with jumps and path-dependent volatility. The flexibility of the Kelvin wave approach really shines through.
It's remarkable how this paper bridges the gap between such disparate fields. The author has truly uncovered hidden links that enhance our understanding of both the physical and financial worlds. Do you have any final thoughts on the significance of this work?
I think the biggest takeaway is the power of interdisciplinary thinking. By drawing connections between physics, mathematics, and finance, the author has developed a versatile framework that provides new insights and solutions to long-standing problems. It's a great example of how collaboration across disciplines can lead to groundbreaking discoveries.
Absolutely. This paper is a testament to the value of looking at problems from multiple angles and not being constrained by traditional academic silos. The Kelvin Wave methodology seems to offer a unified language for describing a wide range of complex phenomena. It will be exciting to see how this work inspires further cross-pollination between these fields.
Well said, Jen. This has been a fascinating dive into a truly interdisciplinary piece of research. I'm sure our listeners have gained a new appreciation for the hidden links between physics and finance. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure exploring this captivating paper with you. We'll be back next time with more cutting-edge research that bridges the gap between seemingly disparate domains. Until then, keep exploring the unknown.
Are you tired of complicated financial models and confusing market jargon?
Introducing Kelvin Wave Financial, the revolutionary new company that's making investing simple and intuitive.
That's right, folks. Using breakthrough insights from the groundbreaking paper Hydrodynamics of Markets, our team of interdisciplinary experts has developed a powerful new approach to financial engineering.
By harnessing the elegant mathematics of Kelvin waves, we can price exotic derivatives, optimize portfolios, and predict market fluctuations with unparalleled accuracy.
It's like riding the perfect wave of financial success. No more differential equations, just smooth sailing to your investment goals.
But wait, there's more. With our new Kelvin Wave AI assistant, you don't even need to understand the physics. Just tell it what you want to achieve, and it'll handle all the complex calculations.
Surfing the stock market has never been easier. Visit kelvinwavefinancial.com and experience the power of interdisciplinary innovation today.
Kelvin Wave Financial, where physics, math, and money come together in perfect harmony. Tom and Jen, woohoo!